Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
This weekend, we're starting a series where I want to talk to you about the I wills of God, what God wills to do in our life. There are four of them we're going to look at in these 3 weeks. And they're simply this, that God said, I will save you. I will to save you. He said, I will free you. He said, I will redeem you. And I want to call you my very own. Those are four things we're going to look at. And we're going to find in Scripture how God wills that in our life. See, the will of God is not a mystery. And yet, sadly, for many Christians, they've been made to think about the will of God in the context of it being mysterious. In fact, you'll hear people say that. Well, the will of God, you know, God is mysterious, His wonders to perform. In a sense, almost giving an implication that there's a mystical nature to God. And there isn't. God has made it very clear in His Word who He is. God has made it very clear in His Word what He will do. In fact, the New Testament is called the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. It's His will. When you find it in the Word, you found the will of God. And yet many dear Christians don't know how to ascertain and to know the will of God for their life. They don't know that when God said it in this book, that's what He meant. And you don't have to pray about God's will when He told you what He wants you to know, what He wants you to do. It's not a mystery. It's not a hit. Let me say it this way. It is the will of God that you know the will of God. It really is. And why I want you to see how critically important that is, because you cannot have faith outside of the known will of God. You can't trust God. You can't obey God if you don't know His will. And as long as you think the will of God is mysterious, you'll just bounce in the dark your whole life. God wants you living in the light as a Christian. That's why the Scripture said the path of the just becomes brighter and brighter to the perfect day. The older you get, it's not the darker it gets, the more light you should have. Yes, our outward man is perishing, and the inward man, though, is renewed day by day. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff my body can't do at 52, soon to be 53, like it did when it was 23. But let me tell you something. I've got more light in God at 52 than I even thought to have at 23. Not even close. And I'd rather have a hold of God and the inside of His plan for my life. I'll tell you what, it's an amazing way to live. And you can live in the will of God for your life. In fact, the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, inspired of God, written in the Bible. Listen to these words, what he prayed for the church at Colossae. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. He said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And here's what he prayed. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you, or in order that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, and being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul prayed that not that you would just know the will of God. He said, I pray that you would be filled. I mean overflowing with the knowledge of God's will in your life. He said, and what it results in when you know the will of God is that you are then enabled to walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. Now listen, and being fruitful in every good work. Walking in the will of God isn't just about pleasing God with what you don't do. Walking in the will of God is pleasing God with your life. That you live a fruitful life. You were made for something amazing. God's will for your life is that you stop living in the land of mediocrity. In any realm of your life, that you expect more than enough. You expect a God that's just an overflowing God to show up in your life. In Ephesians, he said, I want to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything you can even ask or think. You've got to get that religious lies about God out of your mind. That God's this frugal God with an eyedropper. That's not who He is. He's a too much God. His name in the Hebrew is El Shaddai. It literally means the many-breasted one. Implying a woman having one baby and multiple breasts, meaning too much for one. He is a cup running over God. Isn't that what he said in Psalms 23? My cup runneth over. Well, didn't he know when it was full? Do you think when say, well, what? Why the waste? Because he's a too much God. You ever looked at the stars in the sky? The other night I was walking down my driveway and it was real dark out and the sky was clear. And if you stand out there, the longer you look, the more stars you see as your eyes acclimate to the darkness. And more stars and more stars and more stars. Why did he put all of those up there? Because he's a too much God. See, most people think receiving from God is like finding an old garden hose outside and it just has a little bit of water trickling out of it. And of course, it's hot and it's miserable because it's not even cool and you just get enough to survive. Walking with God is like drinking out of a fire hose. It's like someone saying, turn that fire hose and you'd say, can I have a sip? Pop your head right off your shoulders. He's a too much God. That's who he is. How can you fully please a God that you don't know his will for your life? How can you do it? You can't. And most Christians sadly live and they die. And they never determine what God's will is for their life. Even the general will of God for everybody and even the specific will of God for their lives. The Bible tells us that knowing the will of God and fully pleasing God is tied to you being able to live a fruitful and productive life. Because God created you for something amazing. Now, we're going to look into the life of the children of Israel when they were in Egyptian bondage. And God had four I wills he proclaimed over his people. Let me tell you something about the God we serve, our Heavenly Father. He hates that his kids are tied up and bound to anything. He hates it. God shows up around things bound. He always unties them. Even shows mercy where it's not where we would think he never should. You remember Paul and Silas were in prison in the book of Acts? Do you remember at midnight, the Bible said they had been beaten and they were in the inner prison. Their feet were tied up in the stocks and there was no light, but they began to sing praises and the prisoners heard them. And then the Bible said that God shook that prison. That was the first jailhouse rock. That's bad. I know. I just think some things come to your head you shouldn't say. I'm sorry. But. And you know what happened? The Bible said when God did that, all the prisoners' doors were opened. How many of you know there were some people in that prison that deserved to be there? But God can't show up in a prison without opening all the doors. So they didn't deserve to get out. But let me tell you something about the prison you and I came out of. I didn't deserve to get out of it either. But aren't you glad you serve a merciful God? Amen. It's so good to serve a merciful, loving Father. Listen to what he said. We're going to look at the four I wills in the next 3 weeks. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. And God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. Now I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, which is a land of blessing, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I heard the groaning of the Israelites when the Egyptians are enslaving, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord. Now listen, your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. The four I wills is again, God said, I will save you. I will free you. I will redeem you. And then he said, I will take you as my own. We're going to look today where God said, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the bondage of the Egyptians, or I will save you. These four things should be just absolutely present in every church. Now, how every church approaches these four things is different because every church is unique to its culture and to its call. But every church should have a culture where people are being saved all the time. They should be being made free all the time. They should be redeemed and walking in redemption all the time. And they should be a people who know what it means to be God's very own. That should be happening in every church. And I want to show you that in these four I wills, I want you to understand even how your church operates in the context of these four I wills. Every weekend in this church, We work diligently to present the gospel in such a way that if you came here today without a knowledge of a Savior, you leave here with one. And that's why we've seen thousands and thousands of people come to Christ. It's why just last night in a youth meeting, 35 students coming to Christ and 19, 20 somethings coming to Christ. Because that should be the culture of every local church. And that's the culture by the grace of God that exists here. But he said this about his people. He said, I don't want you under the yoke of slavery. I don't want you under the yoke of the slavery of the Egyptians. Egypt is always a type in Scripture of the world and the world system. He said, and so he would say to us in types and shadows, I don't want you yoked up or under the bondage of the world system. Now, I'm not a farmer. Obviously, I don't know much about farming. If you give me your plant, I will give it back dead. Okay, I'm not good with the stuff, all right? I am very good at eating things out of your garden, though. Have I mentioned that I love tomatoes out of gardens? Have I ever mentioned that in this church? Just so you know, because I know you have so many of those are going to rot. So if you ever have too many of them, you say, well, you just have no shame, do you? Nope, none at all. Love garden tomatoes. But here's the deal. I'm not much of a grower myself. But you know what? What I love about God is that He has an overflow for everybody. But you know, a friend of mine is a farmer, grew up as a farmer. In fact, when he was a kid, how many of you remember Pat Butcher speaking here from Kentucky? Pat grew up farming as a boy. And actually, he said they would tie or yoke two mules together, and he would plow fields behind two mules. And his dad, he said, I'd be 7, 8, 9 years old, and I'd be behind that mule plowing up a field. And he said, John, the reason you yoke animals together is to pull a burden. They wouldn't do it without being yoked. They wouldn't do it without being driven. So you never go out into a field and see an animal pulling stuff. They're only pulling stuff when you tie them to it. And what God is saying to us, I don't want you under the burden. I don't want you tied to this world system. Because what it intends to do is to tie you up and to bind you. See, a yoke burdens you until you're unhooked. Just like that animal will not get unhooked until the person who chooses to unhook it does it. You will not get unhooked from the yokes of this world, from the burden of living under this world system, unless Jesus sets you free. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. What Jesus desperately desires, as God did the children of Israel, He wants to unhook you. He wants to bring you out from under the burden of this world and its system. Listen to what He said in Matthew 11, verse 28. Now, this is out of the Message Bible. He said, are you tired? Worn out, burned out on religion, come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Now listen, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced, everyone say unforced. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me. And you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Everybody say freely and lightly. That's what Jesus came to give you. Another translation said, he said, take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what's sad is that most Christians have never understood that walking with God is truly a way to live free. Most Christians think walking with God is what you do without. Most Christians, in fact, I've heard people say to me, well, you know, I want to come to Jesus yet, but I'm not done having fun. Meaning that if you walk with God, you just sentenced yourself to a life of misery. And it's absolutely just the opposite. The difference is this. I don't need to have artificial fun anymore. I don't need to get drunk or stoned to enjoy myself. I need a few drinks in me to loosen up. I'm loose. I'm living light and I'm living free and I don't need to be stoned to be crazy. Ask my wife, crazy, it's a family tradition, thank you, Jesus. But look, most people live their lives so wound and bound and tied up, they got to go out and drink and smoke or take or swallow something to be able to enjoy their life. It's artificial. Now, lest you think I'm criticizing anybody, I'm not disparaging anybody. God loves people no matter what they're tied up to. A friend of mine, I should say an acquaintance of mine, pastors this great church in South Africa. 20-some thousand people in the church. And he you know, his ministry had become pretty renowned in his nation. And he began to be invited to certain places, and he was invited to speak at some major conference, and they put him up in a 5-star hotel. And, you know, because it was, there were tens of thousands of people there, and so they put the speakers in this lovely place. And he said, I came in after one of the night services. We got in about, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock. And I go into the elevator. I'm about to go up to my room, and some guy sticks his arm and the door opens back up, and 4 or 5 drunk guys walk in. He said, and they were stupid drunk, acting like idiots, acting like fools. And he said, I stood there with my Bible under my arm thinking, you idiots. God, are you fool? I mean, you guys acting like, look at this place you're in. You're all acting like a bunch of idiots. He said, while I was doing that, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and rebuked me. He said, listen to me. He said, the only difference between you and them is me. So we're not saying any of these things to disparage anybody. I know what it's like to live in darkness. I know what it's like to be bound. And I know what it's like to be free. And walking with Jesus is when you learn to live lightly. You learn the unforced rhythms of grace. He doesn't... See, religion is burdensome. That's why most people don't want to walk with God, because they impose who God is and they take the lie of religion and they make God about the religion. And like it's something forced on you. No, you get to live for who you were made to be. And you get to live out from under yokes. Jesus said, you can learn this. Do you know that you can learn to have a marriage free from yokes and bondage, free from being tied up? You can have a marriage that gets better and better and better. Most people, they'll say, well, enjoy your honeymoon, because let me tell you, once you get to the ball and chain and all that nonsense. You'll hear people, kids are getting married, and they'll be out in a public place and say, I'm engaged. And some guy will tune up and say, you're an idiot. Why do you want to go get the cow when you can get the milk for free? Yep. Don't give me that tone of voice. You've heard people talk that way. Because they've never learned the unforced rhythms of grace. They've never learned how to live freely and lightly. They've never learned to be set free from a miserable past and a broken world. And their marriages decline over the years. But your marriage can get better and better and better and better and better. We're 25 years in, and let me tell you, it gets better in every area of life. Every area of marriage. Try again. Every area of marriage. Alice, is he talking about what I think he's talking about, Alice? Alice, I am. But people don't understand that you don't have to live under the yoke. You don't have to live under the bondage of the past. You don't have to live under the tyranny of what you may have been raised in or what may have happened to you in life. Jesus said, I'll take all the... I don't want you yoked. I don't want you burdened by the world. Because anything the world gives you, let me tell you, it will take 10 things more precious away from you. And so people in this world, in order to be free, they have to go get something artificial. For a man to feel good about himself in the world system, that's why midlife crises are happening at such epidemic proportions. People don't know how to live in freedom. So they take the wife of their youth, and a guy, or ladies do the same thing. And they're so desperate to again feel alive. They throw away a lifetime with somebody. They throw away a lifetime. They damage their children. All because they want to feel free again. And at the end of the day, all they end up is digging a deeper hole in their life. And I don't say that to hurt or disparage anybody. But that's the very way the world operates. It will give you one and will take 10 every time. Jesus said, I will take nothing from you. I will give you life, and then I'll give you life abundantly. That's who we serve. You can raise children and you don't have to send them off in the yokes you were raised in. How many of you have some stuff in your life you don't want your kids to get? Am I the only honest person in this room? How many of you have ever seen stuff in your kids and you see yourself and you go, oh man, that's me. That's me and my kid. You try to teach him. No, I know. Dad, you never told me to do that. I know, but I showed you that. Don't, no. No, because your mom's been telling me for 25 years. No. And you went and said yes. But you know, your children don't have to go into life bound up. They don't have to go into life with the damage that happened necessarily to you. If you'll walk with God, let me tell you what happens. When you come out from under the yokes, you bring your kids with you. And is there anything more precious to you than your children? So my kids are already grown. It's too late. Are you dead yet? That's a good place to say no. Are you dead yet? Thank you, Jesus. If you are, somebody beside them, raise the dead right now. Listen, if you aren't dead yet, God's not done yet. My kids are grown. How many of you think God's grown too? God can do some stuff in your kids' lives. I don't care how old they are. God is a faithful and holy God. Do you know you can have an emotional life without yokes? You don't have to be tied up and bound up and wound up in knots, wound up tighter than a banjo string. You don't have to live that way. You can live lightly. You can live freely. And Jesus said, I don't want you under the yoke and bondage of slavery. In John chapter 8, out of the Message, Jesus said these words, John 8, 34 through 36. He said, I tell you most solemnly that anyone who chooses a life of sin is trapped in a dead-end life and is, in fact, a slave. A slave is a transient who can't come and go at will. The son, though, has an established position, the run of the house. So if the son sets you free, you are free through and through. And it's so sad that so many precious people see living for God as limiting your life, when in reality, it is a life of escaping the tyranny of darkness. So Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says this, again out of the Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to the culture or to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Do you understand that walking with God, He said, look, if you're not careful, the culture can drag you into it, and without even thinking, you can live marriage like the culture tells you to. You can raise your kids like the culture tells you. You can let your children date like the culture tells you. You can set your children up for immense heartache just like the culture tells you. Now look, if it worked, at least there'd be some argument to saying, well, you know, there's some results there. Results? Yeah, they have some results. We have epidemics of everything, and we have become so educated. We have, it's an information, we don't have an information highway. We have an information ocean. And yet in all that information, there's not enough wisdom to fill a thimble. Walking with God, He said, I want you filled, listen to me, with the knowledge of my will in all wisdom. And with a spiritual understanding, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge. And you can have knowledge, you can have so many degrees and so many letters at the back end of your name. That your name, you need an alphabet. God bless you. But if you don't know how to apply that in wisdom, it will profit you nothing. And guys, Jesus didn't die so that we could just play a religious game. He died so that we could live free in this life, so that we could live an overcoming life, so we could walk with Him in reality. See, separation from the world system isn't just about living free from sin. It's about being separated by God, listen now, for something special. By being liberated by God and being separated for something incredible and something special. You were made for something significant. You were made for something incredible. He said, I brought you out from that bondage. I take you out from under the yoke of Satan and his kingdom. I no longer want you plowing his field. I no longer want you yoked to his kingdom in order to plow his field and to get his results. I want to take you places you never dreamed possible. I want to set you free in ways you never imagined. I want to do things in you and through you and through your children and your grandchildren you thought not even remotely possible. Yeah, I want to take you so far away from the brokenness of your life and the brokenness of your past and the brokenness of perhaps your family life that you're going to look back at what I've done in your life and you're going to shake your head in astonishment. As the Bible said, we were like those that dreamed. And you think, how could this become my life? I'm telling you guys, it matters that you walk with God. It matters that you integrate into the life of your church so that you can learn how to live a saved life, how to live a life of freedom, how to live a life of redemption, how to live as a person who God has said, you are my very own. One of the ways we do that is simply by coming to church every weekend. I'm going to ask you as your pastor, because look, I'm not telling you, you're telling people it's bad not to come to church. You're here, so relax, right? This isn't about good or bad of punching a religious ticket. But I spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours of my life every week preparing to talk to you for this short amount of time so that God, the Holy Spirit, can take words of a human that from the Scripture and teach you and liberate you. And the Scripture said the Word of God makes you free. And to be able to come. So come on weekends. And make it a part of your culture. Make it a part of your life. Not every fifth weekend. Listen, I realize that family reunion, you're on vacation. I don't mean being religiously crazy about it. I don't mean being legalistic. But make it a part of your culture. Get your kids here. Get your kids here. Oh, get your kids here. Don't let the culture have your children. Let us partner together with you to make a difference in your kids' life. Make weekend services a priority in your life. That's why I said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 these words. But you are the chosen race. Everybody say, I'm chosen. You are the king's priest. The king meaning God. You are the king's priest. The holy nation. You are God's own people. Chosen. Everybody say, I'm chosen. Now here's what you've been chosen by God to do. You, not the guy next to you, the lady next to you, you. You have been chosen to proclaim the wonderful acts of God. That doesn't just mean walk around spouting God's good. That means your life, as the Scripture said, is a continual pageant of triumph. Everywhere you go, you are diffusing the fragrance of the knowledge of God, the Scripture said. Everywhere you go, not by your words, but by your life. That God, people can see the light and life of God. You face the same trouble. You hit the same problems. But on the other side of it, you've seen a faithful God. They may know how you were raised. They may know the brokenness of your life. They may know your mistakes. But they see you, by the grace of God, walking in a freedom that is an incredible thing. And that's how every Christian was called to walk in God. For you really are a chosen people. A chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. A people set apart by God. To show forth His wonderful deeds through the actions of your life. Through the fruit of your life. It's an incredible thing. And like Israel was set free from Egypt's bondage in order to enter a promised land. You and I have been set free from the tyranny of darkness in order that we might live a life. And enter into a life of abundance. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. And not just life, but life in abundance. We're no longer Satan's servants and of the kingdom of darkness to plow his field and to serve his purposes. You no longer, as a child of God, are under his authority. How many of you are thankful for understanding the authority of the believer? Isn't it a good thing to know? You don't have to plow his field anymore. Yeah, but Papa and Mama and Grandma and Grandpa, it's a family tradition. Messing up your life. Well, guess what? You can start a new family tradition. You don't have to be messed up. He said, but I am messed up. Okay, for now. But if you'll walk with God, He'll turn your life around. He'll turn your mess into something beautiful. And He will do it by His grace and His glory. And it matters if you walk with God. We are now free to reap a harvest for a completely different kingdom. The kingdom of darkness, let me tell you what it brings. It brings shame. It brings guilt. It brings sorrow. It brings regret. It brings fear and bondage and hopelessness. But when you walk with God, Jesus said, the kingdom of God, the Scripture said, is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. It's a kingdom full of hope. It's a kingdom full of life. It's a kingdom full of abundance. It's a kingdom where there are no slaves. Because the Son sets free is free indeed. It's a kingdom where you are chosen by God to be a vessel to reveal His glory, His power. Now listen, and his abilities in this earth. So the first I will is God is saying this, I will save you. And you know, right after he in the new covenant begins to talk to us about, I'm the God that will save you. Do you know he barely finishes that sentence and he turns it around and he said, now I'm endowing you. I'm enlisting you in my kingdom to go reach your generation and to bring my saving power to your generation. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ or receives Jesus as the Lord of their life, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things that have become new are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. Now, listen, that's all about you coming to Christ, you being saved. And look at the next thing he says. And now he has given us or enlisted us in the ministry of reconciliation. What's that mean? The next verse tells you to go tell the world that God is no longer holding their sins against them, that God worked in Christ and paid the debt for them so that they could be made righteous because Jesus took their sin. Our role is not to go tell people broken and desperate and lost in apart from God in sin to tell them the sins they're committing. If you're broken and you're not born again and you're not in the kingdom of life and the kingdom of life, you're going to do what you do. Sin or sin good. That's what they're meant to do. That's what they do. How many of you know when someone who's bound up in that kingdom, they live like they're in that kingdom, that doesn't shock God. And God's not against them, and God doesn't want to hurt them or injure them. He wants you and I to go tell them, you go tell them in my place that I'm not holding those things against them. My son died to pay the debt for that. If they'll receive me, they can obtain my righteousness and come into my kingdom. And that's our job. That's why on the weekend of October 19th and 20th, we are going to see this room two times over, Saturday night and Sunday at 10:30 service. We're going to fill this place because you're going to come and you're going to bring people with you. Two reasons. They're far from God or they don't know Jesus. Listen to me. I don't want you going to some friend in some church that knows Jesus. Want to come to Friends Sunday? Ain't no Friends Sunday. You can bring your friends, but bring it another Sunday. This is a Sunday where you're going to find people that you can do what Jesus said to do. He said, I've saved you. Now you go, let me use you to save my generation, our generation. Jesus said it this way. You go into the highways, into the hedges, and you compel them to come. I want my house filled. That's what he said. He said, I want it filled. He doesn't want it filled for an attendance record. He wants it filled because he wants people to pass from death into life. And that weekend, we will see, in the name of Jesus, 500 people come to Christ that weekend in this church. It will come to pass. Because we're going to do the will of God. We are called as God's people. We are called to bring our generation out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he's called us to do. And so you're going to come that weekend, you're going to bring someone with you, aren't you? Aren't you? Because you're going to do the will of God for your life. See, it's one thing to talk about the will of God in some ethereal, some religious, blah, 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 just blah. It's another thing to do the will of God for your life. You'll never know life. You'll never know true living outside of living the will of God for your life. And don't wait for it. Don't put it off on the back burner. Get busy with it now. There's nothing better than walking with God. Let me recap today, just briefly. Let me recap what I want to lead you with. We've looked at the first I will, where God said to the children of Israel, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. In essence, he was saying, I will to save you. Aren't you glad God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die for you? That's how desperately he wanted to save us. Aren't you glad to be saved in Christ? Isn't it good? God said, I will save you. And then he tells us what we should say. What we should say is that I will bring the gospel to my generation. So what do we do as a church to fulfill this purpose? Our weekend services are designed to put the word of God in you, but to create an atmosphere. If somebody's far from God, if somebody doesn't know Jesus, that they can understand that there's not a God, the God that died on a cross for them didn't do so to condemn them, but to give them life. We as a church use weekend services to see thousands and thousands and thousands of people come to Christ. And we're about to enter a season in this church where we are no longer harvesting by hand. We're bringing us a combine down the rows. And we are going to see a generation touched. And these are great days in which to be alive. And so I want you to grasp this simple recap and how important it is. And let me say this as we close today. Ultimately, you will never, ever live a fulfilled life outside of you serving God for something more than yourself. At Victory, we call that being a part of the dream team. People who serve in this church, people who discover who they are and how God made them. And then they begin to use their gifts, their talents and their inclinations in an area that fits them. And they begin to serve and they begin to lift up other people. You know, there's such a group of people in this church. It's our children's ministry dream team. Every service you come in here, there are literally many, 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 many people serving in children's ministry that are back in those rooms that you just simply, if your kids are old enough, they just kind of disappear. But many of you have to drop your kids off. Those people are not just, they aren't babysitting. They're putting the word of God in your kids' lives. How many of you had your kids tell you some stuff on the way home? You're like, man, you learned more than I did today. Isn't it incredible? Well, what we did today is that we had our staff go back into all the classrooms. We didn't tell the teachers we were going to do this. And we took all the teachers out of the classrooms. And we left, our staff is back there manning the classes right now. So don't leave early because they can't let your kid go till these folks get back, all right? And so so we've asked them, they're outside the doors right now. And these are people that are making a difference in the lives of the next generation. These are people who are giving themselves in the dream team of this church to change the next generation. And these are incredible people. And I want us to honor them and celebrate them as they walk in here. Come on, bring them on in, guys. Let's celebrate them like you've never celebrated someone in your life. Stand with me. Give these folks a hand as they come. Give a hand to our dream team for our children's ministry. If you're in the congregation and you're on the children's dream team, come on down in the front with them. Many dream teamers are here from the children's ministry in the congregation. Come on. Thank you all so much for what you do for our children. Thank you. Every service they're here. While you're in here, they're blessing your children. Bless you, Father. Thank you. Dream teamers in the crowd, make your way down. Thank you, God, so much for all that you do. Thank God. Again, will you thank our children's dream team? Thank you for what you do. What a blessing. Oh, praise God forevermore. You can be seated. Thank you so much. You guys can stick around here, you dream teamers. Stick around. Every service, this is what's going on. People not in this room with you, they are out there doing the will of God for their life, changing the lives of the next generation. Every Christian is called to make a difference. These are people who have chosen to do that. And my children and your children have been the beneficiary. And I'm so grateful. And I'm so grateful to God. That's why Paul said it this way when he talked about Christians who had found their place. He said, upon every remembrance of you, I thank God. These people have made an amazing difference and are making a difference in the lives of our children, their children. And we thank them. We are so grateful for their lives. Again, would you thank our dream team, our children's dream team? Thank you all so much. Thank you, Lord. Now, I'm going to go ahead and pray over them. And then we're going to, guys on the dream team, they're going to open that side door right over there. You can go ahead and open those doors now, Mike, so they can see them. You can go right through that and out the hallway there. And we'll get you back to the kids so that the parents can come back and actually get their babies from you, all right? So thank you all for what you do. Let's pray over them. And those on the dream team in the congregation, when I'm finished, you can go back and find your seat. But let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for the men and women and the young people in this dream team. I thank you how much they care to fulfill the purpose of God for their life. Thank you, Lord, for the hundreds of people that serve in our children's dream team. I thank you, Lord, for the children whose lives have been so desperate and broken that they've ministered to. These that stand here have led many to Christ. There'll be days 30 years from now when someone will be asking, when did you give your life to Jesus? And they'll remember the people standing here led them to Christ. Father, thank you that what is unseen to man is seen to our God. And I pray the blessing of heaven upon every one of them. I pray the blessing of heaven upon their children, upon their grandchildren, that, Lord, what they've sown, that they will reap, that as they cast their bread upon the water, that it will come back to them upon every way. We thank you in Jesus' name for their lives. Amen. Amen. As they're going their way, would you thank them again? Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Y'all can just make your way out. What a blessing it is. I'm so convinced, guys, that 30 years from now, 20 years from now, 15 years from now, when kids are asked that are no longer kids, and the kids that whose lives will never know the darkness that many of us have had to walk in, never know the shame, never know the brokenness, because they're going to remember when I was in my children's class, and they'll name that teacher's name, that person led me to Jesus. And that won't last for a lifetime. That will last for an eternity. And it's an amazing thing to be used by God. It's an amazing thing to be a part of a church family where every person in this church, I want to encourage you, make weekend services a priority. Make sure you go through the growth track. Make sure you're in a small group and make sure you get busy serving on a dream team, because we, by the grace of God, to the glory of our God, are going to see our generation reap to the glory of our God many more things. I'll be sharing with you in October things God's put in my heart about the next season of our life as a church. I'm telling you guys, the best days of this church are in front of it. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Wonderful. Would you please bow your heads with me? I want to make sure everybody in this room has had the opportunity to give their life to the one who has given his life for them. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, or this morning as the Lord of your life, if you died right now, you're not sure you would spend your forever. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here and you say to me, Pastor John, I don't know what would happen to me if right now, today, I drew my final breath and slipped into an eternity. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here today and you'd say to me, Pastor John, would you pray for me? Would you include me in a prayer to invite Christ in my heart? With every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to pray for you right where you're seated. Listen, you don't go to heaven because you mean well. You don't go to heaven because you went to church. You don't go to heaven because you've received the sacrament of any church. No church sacrament from any church can make you a Christian, including this one. No church membership can make you a Christian, including this one. No church has any salvation in it as the entity of a church, including this one. No pastor and no priest have any power to make you a Christian, including this one. But Jesus does. And he asks, all he asks is that you open your heart and receive him and make him the Lord of your life. When you do, the scripture said he will come. He will turn no one away. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'd say to me today, Pastor John, would you please pray for me? Would you please include me in a prayer to invite Jesus Christ into my heart to be the Lord of my life? I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and say, Pastor, would you please include me in that prayer? I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just simply raise your hand. Do it right now and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. Do it now and we'll pray. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. If you've not yet raised your hand, say, Pastor, include me with those that have. Now help me, this room's very large, so just thank you, sir. God bless you. Just put it up high so I can see it until it's acknowledged, and then I'll pray for you as well, right where you're seated. One last moment. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just lift it real high so I can see it, and I'll pray for you right where you're seated. As heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you raised your hand, or you should have, please pray this out loud where you hear it with your own ears. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Oh, how he loves you. Pray this out loud where you hear it, and we'll pray together with you. Pray it out loud. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear the debt of my sin. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life, and Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. My sin is washed away. I am heaven bound. And I boldly confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's Word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.